Hi everyone, I'm Gary Knoll. Once again, it's a pleasure to be able to share some positive insights how we can live a longer and healthier life. We begin with a study from Yunnan University in China. It talks about the magic of mushrooms. Can this fungus help delay or prevent depression? Well, the answer is yes. Bioactive compounds found within the mushroom, this is an edible mushroom, can delay or prevent the onset of neurological conditions like depression. And the paper published in the Pharmaceutical Biology, a major peer-reviewed journal, reveals the potency of certain polysaccharides. These are the natural chemicals found in the mushroom. Let me spell the mushroom for you. It's called Grifolia, G-R-I-F-O-L-A. And the last name is Frondosa, F-R-O-N-D-O-S-A. It demonstrated potential as a safe medicinal food supplement. Now, you've heard people talk about, well, foods are good because they satisfy our appetite. But that's not the purpose of food. Food is supposed to function in the body. After all, everything in your body was built because of what you consumed. So the quality of your diet is directly related to the quality of your health and the time of your aging. What do I mean? I mean this, that we have biological clocks. They're called telomeres in every cell of the body, every organ. And that's why sometimes a heart will go out, or lungs, or kidneys, or liver, prior to another organ. And then a person can either try to get that fixed or replaced. And with new genetic engineering, we believe in the very near future, there will be human-compatible DNA that will be able to repair a diseased liver or heart or even brain. Now, that's different from trying to control with artificial intelligence or transhumanism your personality or your beliefs or behavior or block your thoughts or control your thoughts. Totally different. So when we eat a food, we know that when we eat an orange, we're getting bioflavonoids and vitamin C. We're getting a lot of very important nutrients that help stimulate our immune system in a good way. Vitamin D3, the same. These are functional nutrients. A functional nutrient has a function in the body that helps it. Whereas your common diet, you know, the meatloaf and the hamburgers, hot dogs, french fries, pizzas, all that does not function in the body. To the contrary, it functions in a negative way because it causes inflammation. And after a point of time, inflammation then causes swelling, hence the swelling of the joints, the pains, the muscles. And then you start taking medication to relieve the symptoms of the pain. Doesn't change the pain, just changes your sensation to feel it. And then you end up with side effects. I'll give you a good example. I'm helping a person right now as their advocate, meaning I'm working with their doctors, and they got a whole bunch of doctors, oncologists, neurologists, gastroenterologists, spinal experts. And why? Because a person has at least five major deadly diseases. All of those diseases could cause death. And when I was looking at this long list of drugs a person was taking, three of those were for blood pressure. Okay, if that saves a person's life, I'm all in on it. But then I looked on the physician's desk reference, and two of the three drugs caused acute liver failure. Acute failure of the kidneys means dialysis and then death. And yet this person was not even told they had the condition. So when I spoke as the advocate for the patient with the doctor, I said, could you please tell me why you have this person on three blood pressure lowering medications instead of asking how much sodium she's consuming? It turns out she was eating a lot of fast foods, mostly fast foods, and just one fast food meal can easily give you 5,000 milligrams of sodium. The entire diet daily requirement is only 800. Now, mind you, if you get what most people get, french fries, hamburger, you're getting 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams of sodium in one meal. Now, that doesn't include everything else you eat that day. No wonder we are a nation of high blood pressure. And in any case, he did not talk to her about lifestyle, changing her diet, exercising, cleansing the system, nor did he look on the physician's desk reference. He said his comment was, "Oh, well, that was given by another doctor." I said, "Excuse me. Anytime a doctor is seeing a patient and the patient presents with medications, it is the doctor's responsibility to determine if any other medications are being given, that they're not contraindicated. They're not working against each other." He didn't want to talk about it. But that's what this person was not aware of. So by getting the person off, and at my suggestion, he got them off, and by giving the person a proper and healthy plant-based diet, controlling the sodium, lots of green juices, cleansing the system, and lots of hydration to the kidneys to throw out the pollutants, the person as of today, I just spoke to him this morning, the blood pressure is normal, but also a fasting blood sugar level that was at 190. And that's fasting, waking up in the morning. That didn't include after you eat a meal, which it really spikes up the blood sugar level with two medications gone, is at 91. That's almost normal. Now, if you explain this to the average physician, that there's a lot that could be done with lifestyle behavior modification that could complement a person's disease in a positive way, and more often than not, they won't take it seriously. Some of the more progressives will. But I just want to let you know that everything the person was consuming, I went through every single thing in that person's diet, caused a dysfunction, inflammation. One example, the person was eating white bread with cheese sandwich for lunch every day. Person, every other moment, was hawking like that, with a great deal of mucus coming up. When I went through the diet and I said, "Are you aware that what you're consuming causes mucus, which then causes breathing difficulties, which then causes you not to be able to exercise because you can't go more than 5 or 6 feet without having to stop and clear your throat because there's not enough oxygen getting into the cells?" Person didn't know that. But interesting, neither did the physician. Mind you, there's six physicians. Imagine, and not communicating with each other and giving different medications. Well, the good news is that person's on their road to recovery. Now, imagine if you only selected foods and beverages based upon their healing functionality in the body. And that's why I'm saying all of the mushrooms, shiitake, white bell cap mushrooms, all of these all function anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, immune modulating, anti-cancer, antimicrobial. These are the natural ingredients in the plants, the mushrooms in this case. So having mushrooms each day into your diet, sauteing them, I did it last night. I lightly sauteed some mushrooms, and I had three different types of mushrooms, lion's mane mushroom, and shiitake mushrooms. And I washed them first, because in restaurants, frequently, they just brush them. Well, brushing them does not clean them. And if they're busy, they just might throw them from a box right into a dish. So you wash, take a sponge and wash it down, then put the mushroom between your hand and squeeze it, and that dries it out. And then saute it with just a tiny bit of oil, ideally coconut oil, and then whatever seasonings you want to add, fine. But by dicing it up and dicing up some tofu, you have a high-quality protein. You have something that is hormone rebalancing in a good way, that the genistein from the tofu. You have something that is going to help you with your immune system, the mushrooms. And then I did this with sweet potatoes. And then I drizzled over the sweet potatoes after they were done, and I mixed it all together. And then I put some raw red onion in. Red onion is your most powerful healing onion. If you have a half a red onion a day, and you cut it up, and then you run some cold water over it for about 20 seconds, it gets rid of the volatile oil, so there's no stinging. But it is extremely good for lowering your blood pressure, killing viruses and bacteria in your throat and your intestine, and it also is anti-cancer. So I put that in to give a warm, the heated food, and cool the raw onion on top. And a delicious dish. But I make sure I have mushrooms every day. I hope you do too. Because the scientists at the Yunnan University in Chicago began feeding a mushroom and found out that it made a big difference within just 5 days. So have your mushrooms, and this can help you overcome depression and other neurological conditions. It improves that. Again, who knew? But now we have a good quality peer-reviewed study that has gone through the ringer, and it works. And by the way, I've also found that water-soluble polysaccharides from mushrooms inhibit cell growth, resulting in eventual cell death of cancer cells. And in contrast, a specific fraction isolated from a non-mushroom encouraged the development of a collagen-induced arthritis. So the food you eat can either cause a disease or prevent a disease. Let's pay attention to prevention. Now, from Harvard School of Public Health comes a study about how following a healthy lifestyle can reduce the risk of long COVID. By the way, go back 3 years. I talked about this 3 years ago, wrote 2 articles. You can go and see them for yourself, see the dates. The very month that COVID was announced, Richard Gale and I scoured all the scientific evidence on the National Library of Medicine, and then I put together a plant-based diet with different herbs like astragalus, echinacea, patriarcho, and also nutrients like vitamin D3, zinc, selenium, quercetin, and vitamin C, and then foods like seeds, pumpkin seeds, watermelon seeds, sesame seeds, nut butters, and vegetables, fruits. All of this represented a diet that stimulates a healthy immune response. I don't care what condition you're faced with, your body is better able to deal with it if you're healthy, whether it's cancer or heart attack. I mean, just having a healthy diet and not smoking and regular exercise and adequate sleep and keeping a good quality body weight and a low body mass index, low fat around the belly, that helps you prevent almost every disease. And so let's say that you are faced with someone who had COVID, you might get COVID and be asymptomatic because your immune system is so strong. And that's what we found in young people. Over 40% in one study of young people already had COVID, but no one knew it because they either had little or no symptoms. That's the immune system. Whereas older people who had multiple comorbidities, diabetes, or overweight, emphysema, heart disease, they're the ones who are most likely to end up suffering, going to a hospital, or dying. But that would have been true for any disease. So if you have COPD and you're 70, and you have COPD and you're 20, the 20-year-old is much more likely to overcome it than the 70-year-old. So that's one of the reasons that I've done these studies. More on that on tomorrow's show, because all of the different, what we call scientific referees, people who've reviewed the 5 clinical studies I did on anti-aging, have given us all their input. I mean, we've been spending 10 to 12 hours a day for the last 3 weeks going over all the things. If someone had major improvements, for example, and someone did, and I won't go into the disease, but they came with a disease, we didn't know it, so I first had to help that person overcome that disease by in and of itself. That would have been an article in a peer-reviewed journal because it was all natural. But then we showed that we could reverse that person's aging process. First time that's ever been done. They wanted all the medical records, which hospitals, all the doctors, before and after. They had to have independent validation. That's good. That's really challenging. And because this is a major, major report that's coming out. So in any case, what we found is that the vast majority of senior citizens in the United States, and I'm not talking about 60 and older, I'm talking about 40 and older, because in biological terms, when you hit 40, you're already a senior citizen at the biological level. That's correct. You're already well past half of your lifespan is behind you, and you're on the slippery slope down. Now, can you change? Yes. Can you reverse a lot of the symptoms of premature aging and disease? Yes. But we'll get into what it takes to do that. And it's not just a good protocol. It's having the right mindset. But that's true of any disease. So if you want to protect yourself going forward against COVID, then go to GaryNall.com, download the article. There's 3 articles on lifestyle and behavior. And even we put an article out that showed the nutrients specifically destroying the COVID virus and other viruses in the COVID family. So this will help you in the future, no matter what you're suffering from. In fact, there was a senior research scientist in the Department of Environmental Health, and there's an online journal of the American Medical Association called Internal Medicine, and it estimates that about up to 23 million Americans suffer from long COVID. 23 million. Wow, that's probably an underestimate. And that means they could keep this indefinitely. I know people who've had COVID for 3 years, long COVID. And now they're willing, because orthodox medicine has nothing to offer. So hopefully now, with this new report I have coming out and a new documentary coming out, hopefully, well, my editor's on vacation this week, but I'm hopeful to finish it next week. And at least you'll have. It's a long documentary. It's 4 hours long. But it was based on a 10.5-hour webinar I did, which I did not post. But this is going to give you everything you need to help you if you have long COVID. Fatigue, fever, variety of respiratory problems, heart, neurological problems, digestive system problems. And about 44% who develop long COVID compared to, for example, women with a healthy lifestyle. Huge difference. Healthy lifestyle, very little long COVID. Your body's able to swing back, get its immune system back. Now, from Kumamoto University in Japan, drinking matcha tea can reduce anxiety. M-A-T-C-H-A, mate, or matcha tea. So research at the university in Japan studied green tea's beneficial properties, and there's a lot. There's thousands and thousands of studies on green tea. This was published in the Journal of Functional Foods. Once again, very important journal. I look at it almost daily. It shows us what's in the body, going into the body, that can function to help the body. And they found that this particular green tea reduces stress. All right? So, and this was in clinical trials. And why? Well, I kind of knew beforehand because I've done a lot of research and writing on this. It's an amino acid. It's called L-theanine, T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E. Anytime you see A-N-I-N-E, it's generally amino acid. It's a primary amino acid in green tea. It's been shown at 200 milligrams to exhibit stress-reducing effect. I recommend it for people with depression and anxiety, especially high-trade anxiety. And then the amino acid L-arginine, A-R-G-I-N-I-N-E, also presents itself in green tea, and it's been shown to enhance stress-reducing effects. So, two things that can help you, theanine and arginine. Unless you have herpes, I've also found with people I've counseled that if they have herpes, high stress will cause an outbreak of herpes, but also high arginine, which is in a lot of nuts, can cause an outbreak as well. So just be aware of that. And then maybe you can regulate how much arginine or goes into your system. So you're taking enough in to get the benefits, but not taking enough in if you have herpes to cause an outbreak. People generally see it in their mouth, you know, a little outbreak. And caffeine is also something that can actually causes more anxiety, and you don't need that, because it actually causes atrophying of the adrenal gland. When you drink so much caffeine, then the body's natural source of energy is diminished. So become, you know, addicted. You go on the roller coaster. Have your coffee in the morning, you got energy. Don't have it, you don't have energy. Same way with sugar. So just one more thing that can make a difference. And then finally, from this is the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, one of the most respected scientific organizations in the world. They found this. They recommend organic agriculture for human health. Good for them. Much more honest than the FDA that is, and USDA that's never recommended that. In a review of existing research, a group of European researchers have identified the benefits of organic food production for human health. The researchers recommend to the Parliament to consider giving priority to certain organic production practices and their use also in conventional agriculture. This recommendation comes from a one-year study resulting in the report called Human Health Implications of Organic Food and Organic Agriculture. The experts list several advantages of methods used in organic agriculture that benefit human health. The support of animal health and the restrictive use of antibiotics in organic animal production led to a lower risk of developing antibiotic-resistant bacteria, which is a major health benefit, kills tens of thousands of people each year, and preventive measures of plant protection and restrictions of pesticide use in organic agriculture led to a decrease pesticide exposure for consumers with benefits for human health. The experts also conclude that slight differences in the content of nutrients, meaning you're going to have more nutrients in organically grown than conventional grown, and it's better for the soil. You don't have the same soil erosion with organic sustainable methods than you do with non-sustainable factory farming methods. But many of you already know that because many of you have come to my workshops over the years. How many thousands upon thousands came during a 15-year period from 1972 to 1985 at the Fertiller Farm, upstate New York, about 14 years, and every weekend in the summer for about 14 weeks, I taught organic classes. A place called Stone Ridge, and it was called Stone Ridge because there was no soil, it was all stone. But I drained out a pond, and it was just a huge amount of muck that had been there for hundreds of years, and used that for soil, showing people how to rejuvenate the soil, add to it. Anyhow, a lot of you know about organic. Good for you, because right now, the major companies, Bill Gates and others, they don't want organic. They want everything to be industrial, commercial, that they can control. They want you eating insects. And as I said on a program 2 weeks ago, we have discovered all types of fungi and bacteria in the insects that are not killed with processing and would end up in your system. Serious health consequences. And until they do long-term studies and have proper studies on insect consumption, then don't buy their gimmicks. One last thing. From University of California in Los Angeles comes a study about snacking on tree nuts, walnuts, almonds, right? Can boost serotonin and boost cardiovascular benefits, helps your heart because it modifies the metabolism of tryptophan and amino acid. And this was a controlled parallel trial, especially people who were overweight. And they worked on this for 24 weeks as a weight loss program. And you actually enhance heart health and brain health, cashews, hazelnuts, almonds, macadamias, pecans, pistachios, and walnuts. You can reduce blood pressure, a major important factor for cardiovascular disease. You feel better. It helps your heart. It's cardioprotective. And the L-tryptophan metabolites and plasma make a big difference in your body. And this was a controlled, randomized study. It worked. So for those of you who have been having healthy snacks throughout the day, just raw nuts. Or even better, raw nut butters. And by the way, If you're pregnant, extra vitamin D during pregnancy can increase the chance of a natural birth, University of Southampton in the United Kingdom. This was published in the Journal of Public Health. That's it for today. That's a lot on health and healing. And again, every single day, brand new information. And I was thinking about this the other day. How often on radio or television do we hear the same statements, same information? What's already in the newspaper, what's already been on all the cable systems, people just regurgitate it, putting in their own ideological biases. No, we're not ideological, not political. Everything here is meant to enhance your freedom of choice. Now you know what you could choose. Whether you choose it or not is up to you. That's your choice. But every day it's different. Every day it's new, brand new. How did that happen? Because late at night, Richard Gale, upstate New York, and me here in Florida are spending hours reviewing all the scientific literature so that what we share is the best of the best. And then John LaBelle with the Gary Null newsletter takes every Monday and summarizes all the best information on health and gives it to you for free. You just go to GaryNull.com, scroll down to the Gary Null newsletter. But then for those who want all the other commentaries and investigative reports and recipes, etc., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can also get the newsletter. 6 o'clock in the morning comes, and all the citations are there. There's a little fee for that, just for the cost of everything. I don't accept anything. I do it for free. So you see, you're getting a lot of information every day. Make you healthy, make you happy, allow you to be happy, because it shows you that no matter how bad things are, the better informed you are, the more honesty in your information, the better you're able, from a reasoned point of mind, to make positive choices in your life. So you stay non-toxic in a toxic environment. You stay positive in a negative environment. You stay healthy in an unhealthy environment, even if you're mocked and ridiculed, as all of us at different times have been. I just took it in a good-natured way because people make fun of each other where I grew up, and that's fine. You don't take yourself seriously. You know, if you're arrogant, they get that arrogance out of you. You begin to appreciate humility, because with humility, you can laugh at yourself and everything else in life. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got a lot of good stuff to share with you. And if you just tune in for the health nutrition, well, tune in tomorrow. And remember, the one progressive voice in the media in the United States is the Progressive Radio Voices, heard through the Progressive Radio Network. And these people have earned their stripes. Ralph Nader, all of these people, Abby Martin, yeah, Richard Wolff, they've been around a long time. And they challenge both left and right. They don't care what your political and or financial or educational status is. They just, if you're on the wrong side of an issue, they're going to challenge you. Good for them. At least this is it. And this is the most progressive listen to radio program in the United States. Back in a moment. We'll share some more stuff with you. Welcome back, everyone. The latest on COVID, the reversal of information, comes from one of the architects of everything that you were led to believe. This is from Dr. Birx, B-I-R-X. She now acknowledges she manipulated the data, altering the CDC guidelines to deceive Trump. Quote, Dr. Deborah Birx, who served as the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator under President Trump, has admitted in a new book that she quietly called her own shots during the COVID pandemic. Birx confessed to manipulating data and quietly altering CDC guidance without the administration's knowledge or authorization. In Silent Invasion, she discusses how she, quote, devised a, quote, strategic sleight of hand method reporting she describes as, quote, subterfuge. Quote, this wasn't the only bit of subterfuge I had to engage in, she writes. Okay, so now they're saying they didn't say all the things they said, but we have the actual statements. We have it. For example, Rodney, I just sent you a clip, a short clip, it's only seconds long, by Anthony Fauci about the importance of getting the vaccine because it would protect you, but being naturally immunized would not. Now, this became then the, to this day, it is, natural immunity. Getting the COVID vaccine doesn't mean anything. You've got to get the vaccine. It's not true. Virtually all the science shows that if you've been naturally immunized, you are far better protected than if you were vaccinated. And the more vaccines you get, the more likely it is you will die. The more vaccines you get, the more likely it is you'll be hospitalized, especially if you're older. So they intentionally, with malice aforethought, gave us misinformation. Now, if Rodney pulls this up, I'll play this clip for you. But now we're seeing that all of them are reversing their stance. All of them. Now, she's written a book trying to back out of many of the statements she supported. Mind you, when you're sitting on a panel and all the panel are going ahead with a particular proposal, wearing the masks, lockdowns, vaccination, quarantining, that means that you're supporting that. And she supported everything. But now she's giving us a different perspective on it. Okay. Just want to share that with you. And let's see if when Rodney gets this up, we'll play a clip and then we'll come back to this. But we're going to play this clip now. This clip is something that was just sent to me today, and I'm thinking, I'd like to hear what the audience feels about this. They might support it. They might challenge it. But it's important that you give me your feedback. I'm not going to give my feedback till I see what yours is, because I'd like for you to have the form. 888-874-4888 is our number. This is about the moral case for mockery. Okay, well, we've always been led to believe, or most of us, that mockery was not to be used because it was attacking people and it was making them feel bad about their own beliefs. Listen to it in this context and see if you agree or disagree with that. I'm always going to play controversial issues because until we challenge them, and I challenge them all the time, all you have to do is go to GaryNolicott.com, scroll down. In the last year, I wrote 57 commentaries. These are full articles, taking at least a half hour to an hour to read, and they're all based on good scholarship. So it's not dodging any of these points. But I also believe in freedom of choice. Even when you're wrong in your choice, you want to have a hot dog, hamburger, you know, if you want to have some glass of whiskey at night, it's your choice. It's going to be the wrong choice for your body, but for your temperament, for your belief system, for your attitude, you may think it's the right choice. But what happens when we no longer have an opportunity to challenge any choice except what we're told by officialdom is the right choice, or a gigantic woke culture that says you must only do what we say, or we will attack and destroy you. And we're like a black mamba snake, one of the most aggressive snakes in the world. It's one of the snakes that doesn't run away, but runs at you. Yeah, and look at what they've done. Look at what they've created. Look at the deadly legacy. So listen now and watch it also, and tell me what you believe is the issue here. The moral case for mockery.
Bad ideas are everywhere. Spreading like viruses, infecting every area of our lives, and driving millions of otherwise rational people to embrace the irrational. Here's one obvious example. It illustrates a broader point I want to make about, of all things, the moral importance of mockery. Ready for this? We're told by so-called experts with straight faces that men can become women, and women can become men. We're told that sex is assigned at birth rather than observed, as if doctors just make their best guess whenever they see a newborn baby. We're told men can become pregnant and chest feed. These aren't fringe ideas promoted by radicals on Reddit. They're mainstream, endorsed by once respected medical organizations, highly educated doctors, and popular internet wellness sites. Go to healthline.com and type in, "Can men get pregnant?" You'll find this answer. Yes, it's possible for men to become pregnant and give birth to children of their own. In order to explain, we'll need to break down some common misconceptions about how we understand the term man. So the people who just told us men can get pregnant are going to clear up misconceptions for us? I don't think so. It would be bad enough if these ideas were merely popular, but they've quickly gone from mainstream to mandatory. You can't criticize them. You can't even joke about them. Comedians risk being canceled, and in some cases physically attacked for doing so. In a twisted way, this all kind of makes sense. In order to prop up an insane worldview that can't be defended, or even coherently articulated, you have to insulate it from criticism, especially the comedic kind that employs mockery to expose foolishness. It's embarrassing to be exposed as a fool, so it can't be tolerated. My team at the Babylon Bee learned this the hard way when we made a joke about Rachel Levine, a transgender health admiral in the Biden administration. USA Today had named Rachel Levine one of their Women of the Year. They were serious. But Rachel Levine is no more a woman than I am. So we fired back with this satirical headline. The Babylon Bee's Man of the Year is Rachel Levine. The mockery, of course, was of USA Today, not the admiral. Twitter, pre-Elon, was not amused. They locked our account for hateful conduct. Delete the joke, they said, and you can have your account back. We refused. The intolerable truth you're not allowed to speak is that Rachel Levine actually misgenders himself whenever he calls himself a woman. And pointing that out, no matter how it's done, is not hateful conduct because the truth is not hate speech. But this is how the system is rigged to safeguard bad ideas. The leftists who dominate our media and culture are armed with both a sword and a shield. They can call anyone who differs with them a bigot, a transphobe, a Nazi. It doesn't matter. They know they'll never get banned. That's the sword. But if you joke about the left's lunacy, you'll be suspended or even banned for hateful conduct. That's the shield. So how did we get to the point where it's considered hateful to tell the truth, even in jest? The answer is simple. We took bad ideas too seriously. Instead of laughing at absurd notions like men can get pregnant, or the planet will burn up in 10 years if we don't ban fossil fuels, or that morbid obesity is healthy, to name just a few, we tolerated them. The absurd has become sacred because it hasn't been sufficiently mocked. But isn't mockery mean and cruel? Well, that depends. We're not talking about mockery for the purpose of putting people down and making them feel bad. We're talking about using it as a tool to expose foolishness for what it is, so that it isn't taken seriously. Mockery of this kind is not only cleansing, it's a moral imperative. Why? Because bad ideas can have catastrophic consequences. Ask any mutilated teen who now regrets having gender transition surgery, or any married couple who didn't have children because of climate change, or any obese person who now has diabetes because being overweight is supposed to be okay. Imagine if the ideas that produced these results had been laughed at instead of lauded. So many things are off limits in comedy and culture now, and too many people think this represents progress. They think we've improved morally because we make fun of fewer things. The truth is we're more confused than ever because we've affirmed and accepted what should have been ridiculed and rejected. If our goal is moral improvement, we need more mockery, not less. I'm Seth Dillon, CEO of the Babylon Bee.
All right. It's a Babylon Bee, of course. Anyone who's up there knows it's there to mock everything. Your thoughts. Now, keep in mind, it's a play on the word. If you're born a biological woman and you decide, which is your right, at whatever you consider an appropriate age to make an intelligent, life-affirming choice, that is in itself up for question, with or without the supervision or approval of your parents, again, you can debate that, then you are fully capable then of having a child. You're still a biological woman, and though you will have hormone therapy, you will have surgical genital removal, breast removal. You have a uterus, you have a womb, you have fallopian tubes, you have eggs, you have everything needed to become pregnant, no matter how you physically look or how you physically identify yourself. That is different than saying if you were biologically born a man without a uterus, without a womb, then is that man capable of becoming pregnant? So it's how you place the argument. If you're saying that a man identified as a man today could become pregnant, that is true if the man was originally born as a woman. If you're saying that a man born as a biological male with no uterus, no womb, no vagina, no fallopian tubes could become pregnant. I would like to see the evidence. As a scientist, I'd be very interested in that. As someone who has studied biological science, I'm particularly interested in that. If you have the proof, show it. I just spent the last 5 days, hours a day, clear up till midnight last night, on the phones, proving with the medical records, proving with CAT scans and a before and after diagnosis that certain people have been able to reverse disease states that were medically non-reversible. You have the letter from the doctor, you have the medical records from the doctor, which just belongs to the patient. By the way, those records are yours. They can't be taken from you or hidden from you or denied you. And there it says that there is no further medical procedures we can employ. You have an irreversible medical condition. But then the person 6 months later has, or a year later, has no medical condition. It's been reversed. They say that's not possible. Okay, then show us how that happened, since you have the medical records, all the details. This is a really long process. It requires thousands of hours of work. But once done, then you give them this argument. So what exactly changed between you saying someone was not going to be able to be helped, would die, and the person being helped and is alive without that condition? Then you get into a different area. They either have to say the person never had the condition. Well, then the person should sue you for malpractice because you were treating them without success for 5 years at $300,000. The hospital you're at, a major hospital, your whole team, are you saying all these medical records, all these cancer marker studies were false? Then your entire system is guilty of fraudulent medical practice. Well, hold on. Generally, a person only asks for amnesty if they first plead guilty and then ask for forgiveness. Remember the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa? You would be forgiven. You wouldn't be punished unless you lied. Then you would be. So people came forward of all walks of life and talked about the crimes against the African people in the apartheid regime. We want to be forgiven in society, but without acknowledging we did anything wrong. That's how low into the human deprivation we have sunk. But that's where we're at. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on all of this, because it's all interconnected. If you can misguide and mislead people, if you say the wrong pronoun, you're an evil person, a bad person, maybe you should die. If you haven't been vaccinated, maybe you shouldn't get any help and should just go die. If you live in Canada, we'll help you die. In fact, in young people, people who are depressed, they're now saying if you're poor and depressed, you don't have quality of life, so we'll assist you in dying. That's your option? I had 500 people in a depression and anxiety study. They couldn't get in unless they had a letter from their doctor showing they were clinically depressed or clinically anxious on medication for at least 2 years. The results were that it was 7 years average. 94% were completely normal, no depression, no anxiety, no medications 3 months later. How many of you were at the church on 86th Street in Amsterdam where we held that every Saturday? We did it. Psychologists haven't done it. Medical doctors can't do it. Drugs have never done it, but they increase your risk of killing yourself. But something that's natural, non-toxic, we don't want to hear that. Wow, we are the most arrogant pieces of in the world. We really are. Let's see how bad we are. I'm waiting for someone to call and respond. I'd like to hear your call and response. But whatever you want to identify with, that's your business. I respect your right to choose whatever you want. I will challenge you on whether a child, you know, at birth knows what they want. But then again, 3 years ago, what did they call her? The liberal Sherpa, who's in a lot of trouble now, said that, you know, a baby shouldn't have its diapers changed unless you get permission. Exactly how is the baby supposed to? Oh, we won't deal with that. They come up with all this stuff. and everyone kind of falls into line. Why? Bill Maher has something to say about this. Let's hear Bill's take on it.
New rule if you're part of... And finally, new rule, if you're part of today's woke revolution, you need to study the part of revolutions where they spin out of control because the revolutionaries get so drunk on their own purifying elixir, they imagine they can reinvent the very nature of human beings. Communists thought selfishness could be cast out of human nature. Russian revolutionaries spoke of the new Soviet man who wasn't motivated by self-interest, but instead wanted to be part of a collective. No, it turns out he wanted to be on a yacht in a Gucci tracksuit holding a vodka and a prostitute. Not standing in line all day for a potato. The problem with communism and with some very recent ideologies here at home is that they think you can change reality by screaming at it, that you can bend human nature by holding your breath. But that's the difference between reality and your mommy. Lincoln once said that you can repeal all past history, but you still cannot repeal human nature. But he's canceled now, so f*** him. Yesterday, I asked ChatGPT, are there any similarities between today's woke revolution and Chairman Mao's cultural revolution of the 1960s? And it wrote back, how long do you have? Because, again, in China, we saw how a revolutionary thought he could do a page one rewrite of humans. Mao ordered his citizens to throw off the four olds. Old thinking, old culture, old customs, and old habits. So, your whole life went in the garbage overnight, no biggie. And those who resisted were attacked by an army of purifiers called the Red Guard, who went around the country putting dunce caps on people. Yeah, who didn't take to being a new kind of mortal being. A lot of pointing and shaming went on. Oh, and about a million dead. And the only way to survive was to plead insanity for the crime of being insufficiently radical, then apologize and thank the state for the chance to see what a you are, and of course submit to re-education, or as we call it here in America, freshman orientation. Listen to this story. There's a law professor at the University of Illinois, Chicago, named Jason Kilbourn, whose crime was that on one of his exams, he used a hypothetical.
We're going to have to say goodbye to BAI now, but we're going to continue up to the top of the hour at PRN.live. Tonight, we have a powerful show at 7 o'clock. Very controversial topic with a person that you rarely, if ever, see in the media.
Worker sued her employer for race and gender discrimination, alleging that managers had called her two slur words, the type of real-world case these students might one day confront. And knowing the extreme sensitivity of today's students, he didn't write the two taboo words on the test, just the first letter of each. He was teaching his students how to fight racism in the place where it matters most, the criminal justice system. But because he merely alluded to those words, again, in the service of a good cause, he was banned from campus, placed on indefinite leave, and made to wear the dunce cap. No, not really the dunce cap part, but our American version of that. 8 weeks of sensitivity training, weekly 90-minute sessions with a diversity trainer, and having to write 5 self-reflection papers. A good man. A liberal law professor. If you can't see the similarities between that and this, the person who needs re-education is you. Yes, we do have our own Red Guard here, but they do their rampaging on Twitter. Here's a cute example from a couple of years ago. The banjo player from Mumford & Sons tweeted that he liked a book that apparently had not been approved by the revolution. So, of course, he had to delete the tweet, then take time away from the band. Oh, my God, you mean this could have affected Mumford & Sons? And then the cringing apology, I have come to better understand the pain caused by the book I endorsed. Pain? From a book? Unless he hit the drummer over the head with it. What happened to, I can read whatever I want? Yeah! Don't worry, I'm a musician. It won't happen again. There was once a very different musician named John Lennon who wrote a song called Revolution. And people who didn't really listen to it thought it was a rah-rah call for revolution. No, it was the opposite. The lyrics are, you say you want a revolution? Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't going to make it with anybody anyhow. There's a guy who understood how good intentions can turn into the insane arrogance of thinking your revolution is so awesome and your generation is so mind-bendingly improved that you have bequeathed the world with a new kind of human. You're welcome. With communists, that human was no longer selfish. In America today, that human is no longer born male or female. And obesity is not something that affects health. You can be healthy at any size. Really, we voted on it. A formerly serious magazine last year published with a straight face an article called Separating Sports by Sex Doesn't Make Sense. Yes, it does. Because again, we haven't reinvented Homo sapiens since Crystal Pepsi came out. I've spent three decades on TV mocking Republicans who said climate change was just a theory. And now I got to deal with people who say, you know what else is just a theory? Biology.
We have a caller. By the way, before we go to the caller, I want to remind people, if you care about science, we have a program on the Progressive Radio Network called Big Picture Science. It's every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on PRN.live. And you'll hear the journalist Molly Bentley talking with Seth Shostak on science made easy, understandable for people. Something to listen to. Our final call of the day is from Ed from Los Angeles. Hi, Ed, your turn. Do we have Ed there? No? Okay. Then we will, Ed, you can call back on tomorrow's program. We're out of time, everyone. Thank you for listening. And don't forget tonight, oh, wow, do we have a program. I've got a rare interview with Sam Husseini, and he's one of the most important peace and social justice activists in the world. So we're going to go into depth on things you didn't know about, well, tune in and you'll see for yourself. Have a nice day, everyone.